And it's me. That's right. It is the Cyber Warrior. This is Cyber Warrior Studios. And I know you're all here for another amazing episode of Security Happy Hour. Now, before we get started, understand, this show is free-flowing. It is free-form. And there are super chats on the bottom if you want to donate to the cause. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Now, otherwise, look, I love you all. And I promise we're going to get back with our amazing guests here in a second. You just got to hang with me. It's like 10 seconds. You'll be all right. And we're back. And that's right. It is me. It is the Cyber Warrior with me. I have Cody. And yes, it is Freya's Day. Happy Freya's Day, everybody. And once again, we're here. We are here. And hold on. We got to get the official sound. There it is. The official sound of Security Happy Hour. And we're ready to go. Cody, as we're getting started, please give these folks a rundown about who you are and what we're going to get into.
Well, with the opening sound, I just have to already say I already need to pee, but we're going to hold that. But anyway, my name's Cody. I'm Cody Loomis. I don't know if y'all can see me on my LinkedIn and everything else, but I'm 47 years old and going through a cybersecurity boot camp now. I started out in the military in 1994 out of high school and did 22 years, 10 months, and 8 days. Then I was 11 Charlie and jumped out of planes and blew stuff up. Had 6 deployments as an infantryman and then went into supply of all goddamn things. And started learning logistics and went to the National Guard, got a full-time National Guard gig. Deployed once to Afghanistan and would rather have walking over broken glass than go on that deployment. But being an infantry dude that goes into the supply realm and into carpet land, don't like it. But anyway, come out of that, retired in 2016, and basically lived off the grid. Built my own log cabin with my own hands. Had no heavy equipment at all, just a chainsaw and a couple of ladders to build my own log cabin. Generated power, solar power. I had a fuck ton of chickens, goddamn ducks, and some other shit. But anyway, that turned up. That's a full-time job in itself. And one night, my wife, she rolled her Jeep. And I had been thinking about wanting to go to welding school or learning some sort of trade. And she rolled her Jeep, was trapped upside down for about 30 minutes and couldn't get out. Her seatbelt was locked. She couldn't get out of her seatbelt. And out in the darkness, it was about 2:30 in the morning. And I just heard a real faint, "Help, help." And I was like, "What the hell?" Used my flashlight and seen her. I was like, "Oh, well, that's upside down." Went and got her out of that. And within probably 3 hours, I had applied to with the VA through a local welding school up here. And I said, "I'm going to build you a roll cage." That was my introduction into welding and fabrication. So did that and went through that school. That was 10 weeks of fun. Had a blast. Fell in love with welding and fabrication. Got out of that, started building handrails and structural steel components for apartment buildings and what have you. That sucks. It's dirty.
That sucks. That word's gonna put it out there. That sucks.
Yeah. It's dirty, it's nasty, it's hot. You're blowing out black boogers from all the freaking welding gases and everything else. And decided to move into an indoor application where I was hoping to work on hot rods and maybe do some other stuff. I turned a horse trailer into a mobile bar. So that was my first gig.
Can you do that for me?
No. No. I do know a guy that can, though. I know a guy. but absolutely. Welding and fabrication sucks. It's hard work. And I'm, like I said, at that time I was, 40? That was 2018, so what's that been? I can't even do the math in my head right now. But anyway, I was in my early 40s and did that and blew my back out somewhere, a few years into it. And now I can't lean over. I can't lift up the heavy stuff. I can't be on the ground rolling around in the dirt. So decided I need to change avenues. became a CNC programmer, learned G code and M code, started programming freaking CNC mills and lathes. Learned that all by myself. Didn't have any boot camp or nobody to teach me. Used flashcards that I made on my own and the will of fucking YouTube. But yeah, overall it started going well. But again, I'm getting old. I can't bend over and lean into those machines. And standing up all day at those things just killing me. Plus, the money ain't that good. So I need something else to go into. Cybersecurity has been drawing my attention since I was not even a kid. But I mean, the digital realm I've been looking at since I was a kid. I love computers, and I love doing stuff digital. I played video games. I built my own computer back in the early 2000s. Had a lot of fun doing that. Anyway, short story long, decided to go in cybersecurity because it'll let me stay in the fight. I had an issue on one of my deployments where I intervened in a rape, sexual assault that turned out to be human trafficking. And I can't go kick doors anymore. But if this will let me stay in the fight, maybe go catch those people, if cybersecurity will let me help that, then by God, if I can stay in the fight doing that, I'm going to.
And that's the biggest thing, because when you look at it, and when we look at, I'm not even going to say a lot because I don't see a lot of people talk about it, but there's quite a few people that talk about the reasonings they get into this field, and whether it's human trafficking or whatever the case may be, something to help others and help everyone. One of the biggest reasons that I got in the military was to help people, and I didn't get that opportunity. I deployed, I did other things, but I never felt like I was making a difference. Even now, I'm making a difference, but for companies. I still feel like I'm missing that human element of helping people, which is why I do this show, which is why I do the content that I do, is because it is my way of helping people. But to your point, if you can do that, if you can get in with these organizations, if you can get into cybersecurity, digital forensics, social engineering, all these other avenues that are out there, it will do nothing but help your cause. So I think that the first topic of discussion needs to be that boot camp and what it's teaching you. So you're in a 20-week boot camp, correct?
Yes, sir.
And with that 20-week boot camp, how do you feel that instruction has helped you kind of learn the ins and outs of what it is we do in cybersecurity?
Well, we're honestly, we're just now getting into the pen test portion of this boot camp. This is a 20-week boot camp. This last 4 weeks is pen test plus.
Okay.
In fact, I scheduled my pen test plus exam for the 26th of this month. I've already passed my security plus, got that first time go. Last month, the last 4 weeks of it was all security plus. But prior to that, this course that I'm going through laid the groundwork that I don't think a whole lot of these boot camps do, or at least I don't hear about them doing it. We went through server plus, we went through Linux plus, cloud, and we went through network. I mean, we had 20 weeks of network where we pulled up GNS3, and we made our own networks. And made them all work. We made our own firewalls, configured everything. And
you got a congratulations, by the way, from Space Tacos. I know who that is, but I'm not going to put her name out there.
Now, either way, Space Tacos sound pretty yummy. I don't know what's in them, beef, pork, or alien matter. Anyway,
But I love the fact that you talk about going through the foundations, because that's the biggest part.
Buddy,
that is something a lot of boot camps miss. Especially when you're looking at somebody's 1 week certification boot camps.
Yeah.
So the fact that yours is 20 weeks. So I don't know who you're going through right now. If you want to say it, you can say it. You don't have to. I know I got a good friend. I got one of my sisters, one of my warriors going through the Google cybersecurity boot camp. And so she keeps me up to date on everything she's learning and everything she's going through. And so with that, I know they are teaching foundations to an extent, not fully in depth, probably that could be taught, but enough that you'll understand ports, enough that you'll understand some of the basic concepts and constructs. So do you feel that in your boot camp right now, they have taught you enough about the basics? Now, you as someone who grew up in the digital realm, well, me and you are about that. I mean, you're older than me. Let's not lie. But you grew up, you were in the digital realm. You built computers. You know computers. You kind of came up in that facet, same as myself. Would you feel they are teaching enough in that basic construct for others to take the same boot camp?
The boot camp that I'm in right now, yes. It's and the 20 weeks that I'm going through, it's only 4 hours a day. It's a halftime schedule. And they have a full-time schedule that's only 10 weeks, but you're there 8 hours going through course, sitting there in front of a computer and doing labs. The course I'm going through is through Divergence Academy, and it's their Certified Professional Penetration Tester course, CPPT. And these guys are, I mean, in my opinion, they're killing it. I've seen and chatted with other people who are going through different courses. They're not getting nearly the same kind of instruction or hands-on experience that we're getting. While going through Linux, we did maybe a week, if that, of it was within the first week, we pulled up our own VMs. We built our own virtual machines on either VMware or whatever the Cisco one is, VirtualBox.
Yeah.
And
Oracle.
Yeah, and we built our own Linux machines. We were taught, it's like, all right, log in, all right, make, you know, SSH, back into your computer, you know, make a screen. This is how you do it. This is how you do screens. This is how you do this. This is how you do that.
What did you say that boot camp name was again, so I could throw it in chat?
Divergence Academy.
A-C-A-D-E-M-Y. Okay, cool. Yeah, because yeah, Space Tacos was asking, so I wanted to throw that in there. That way she could look it up, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and these guys, they're instructors. Like I said, I don't have much. This is the first boot camp I've been through, so I guess the second one. First one was a lot of yelling and spitting on my face, but this one was. These guys seem to know their stuff, and from what people I've talked to that have gone through other boot camps, they're not getting nearly the amount of education or the hands-on education. Yeah. Like I said, we had an entire 2 weeks of networking that was nothing but GNS3 and building and maintaining a network.
I love that you said GNS3 because that is one of the things when I was going through one of my schools, I can't remember which one it was, we talked a lot about that. And I had talked to some other people and they had literally used GNS3 because of the way it operates to build a legit network from an office to their home.
Yeah.
I was like, hold up, you can do that? And they're like, oh, yeah, you can do all this. You just got to have the images and this at the third. And so from a networking construct, it is probably one of the best applications out there. However, comma, you have to pay for the iOS or the OS that you're using to be able to do those things.
You do.
Yes, I do.
While I'm in this course, it's free. And due to this course, the way it's designed, they're not here to get you a certificate and teach the test. They don't care about tests. What they care about is real world experience and getting you into the industry and getting you a job. We have this thing that's just come out this year called CRW. It's the Career Readiness Workshop. So while you're going through these courses, you also have a few hours a week, you know, maybe once a week, where they teach you how to write a resume, where they teach you how to sell yourself and how to take your military experience and translate it into a cyber field.
And that is absolutely amazing because, and I'm going to put this question up from Jenny, but essentially boot camps have a huge issue right now, right? Because you have a lot out there that are for a certification. Security Plus boot camp, CCNA boot camps, CEH boot camps, and things like that. Now, I have a different boot camp experience than a lot of other people because the ones I went through and the instructor I had taught me a lot. But again, it came down to the instructor, not the actual class itself. So we'll discuss that. But I want your take on this, Cody. Jenny asks, why do boot camps get a bad reputation, and what are some red flags to look out for?
Well, Jenny, I can't honestly tell you why some do and why some don't, because this is the only one I've been through. But I can tell you that I would think from some of the chats I've been in and looking at other people going through different boot camps that it is geared towards test taking, and they don't build the foundations that you need to get into this industry. They don't build. I mean, how many freaking security plus boot camps have you ever heard of or gone through or seen that teach you how to build a patch cable?
No.
I went through that. Yeah. I mean, who does that?
I learned that in the Air Force.
Yeah.
You have to have, still hate it, but I learned it.
These people, I think a lot of these courses that are selling Security Plus certifications or boot camps or Pentest boot camps, that's all that it is. And if you don't have a background that will that directly feeds that skill set, it's going to be super hard to get anywhere. Super hard to pass.
And so for me, one of the biggest things is this, and you said it, and this is where I'm going to provide a counterpoint based on research. So many boot camps, yes, they teach a test. That's all they're going to teach. Their goal is to get you to pass. So whether that's them going out and buying test dumps and saying, hey, study this and you'll know what you're doing, da 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 da, whatever the case may be, their goal is to increase their pass rate as much as possible.
Right.
So when you're in certification boot camps, it's very hard to get the knowledge that you're going to need to actually do the job. My only counterpoint to that is through InfoSec Institute, and more specifically, Keytron Evans, that man taught me so much because, yes, probably initially the class or the material is meant to just get you to pass the test, but you get the right instructors, they'll teach you the job. And this man taught me everything. I thought I went into the class. I had been breaking into my own wireless network using Kali Linux and Backtrack and everything else and doing things for years. I get into this. This man taught me things I didn't even know. And it had nothing to do with the test. It was legitimately, this is how you're going to do your job. This is what's important. So go ahead, go do this. I'll teach you what, we're supposed to teach you in a curriculum, but I'm also going to teach you the real way to do it. I'm also going to teach you the things that they're not going to teach you for a certification, because the certifications are meant for compliance versus actually how things are done.
Yeah. Going back a few episodes with the GRC thing and the compliance checklists, and it's a check the box. Yeah. Do you have this? Yes or no? It's like, did you train this? Yes or no? And then you can check a box and move on. These guys, I have reached out to these dudes at 9 o'clock on a Sunday, through our chat channels, and asked them and had to come into Jesus meeting with myself and be like, oh, I got to talk to somebody that's in the know. So I talked to my instructors. They pulled me up at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday and talked to me. And shit, I'm on the freaking Pacific Coast, man. And I'm talking to people on the East Coast, and they're still pulling me up. I probably really interrupted their Diablo, but they take the time to do it.
Yeah.
And that, to me, so, like I said, the instructors, I have not had an issue with any of these instructors. So I can't blame my failure on any of the instructors. It's my own failure, because these dudes are here for us. And it sounds like I'm paid by this guy, but anyway, yeah.
But you said a lot, because at the same time, even when I went through InfoSec Institute and their trainings and things like that, those instructors were the same way. Keytron Evans, and I did a CCNA boot camp too. That one I just kind of like took with a grain of salt because I had already done CCNA, so it was easy for me. But like Keytron Evans was like, hey, I'm going to be here till like 9-10 o'clock at night. And you're staying in a hotel, you're there for the class, you're going into a hotel training atmosphere. So it's like, I can be here if you need me. If no one shows up by like, I don't know, an hour or two after we're done, I'm out. And so, but he was still available. And so it was one of those things, like, I'll make myself available if you tell me you're going to need someone tonight. Like, if no one shows up or if no one tells me they're going to need to talk, then, yeah, I'm going to leave and go about my business for the night because I'm here training all day. I don't want to be here 24 hours a day. You know what I mean? So, like, he was one of those people that I still to this day reach out to on LinkedIn. I still talk to this guy. He has been a great mentor for me and has done amazing things and takes care of his students. He is how I got my InfoSec Hall of Fame award. He nominated me because of the way things happened and the fact that he's there and he will always be available. So it's not always the school. Sometimes, many times, it's the instructor.
Absolutely.
Some of these instructors get paid and are like, all right, I'm out. See you later. Others actually care.
Yeah. You can have a Michelle Pfeiffer thing, you know, with what the fuck was that movie? Fucking Beautiful Minds or whatever. But you can have that Michelle Pfeiffer moment with that shitty school that nobody gives a damn about the students. But you got that one instructor that really cares. And that is what is going to drive your students. It's, you had the courseware or whatever the freaking school puts out might be good. But that one instructor is the one you're going to remember and the one that's going to, you know, inspire you to freaking, you know, what my big thing, I have a big saying in my head all the time that from Hannibal, it's you either find a way or you make one. And
I love that.
And that's where I'm at, man. I'm like, I'm stuck right now in this, in this blue collar. It's all I've ever done is blue collar. I know how to forklift. I know how to drive a forklift. I can drive a front end loader. I do construction. I laid asphalt. I've been rolling around in the dirt as a welder and a fabricator. Blue collar, blue collar, blue collar. But you know something? It's time for a change, and I'm going to either find a way to change or I'm going to make a way to change. Ain't nobody going to stop me.
And that's the biggest thing. So, and Space Taco said it. I was going to say it, but she said it. So it's Dangerous Minds. I knew exactly the movie you were talking about. And you're right. It comes down to the instructor. And at the same time, everything in our lives is about us. You have to take ownership of it. If you want it, you got to go for it. This feeds into all the other content I do. So for anybody out there that does not watch my daily videos or anything else, understand this. Regardless of what the premise is, the reality of it is, take ownership of your life. Take ownership of where you want to go in life. Because that's going to be the biggest thing. If you don't take ownership, if you make excuses, if you say, oh, I can't do it because of this, or I can't do it because of that, or I can't do it because of this. No, you can't do it because of you, because you want excuses. You want to put blame on somebody else when the reality of it is you don't want to go for it. You're not putting your best foot forward. You're not trying to make the effort. So with that, and that'll lead me into my next point, because we talk about the fact that you're in your mid to late 40s, right? How do you think that has impacted you being in this boot camp right now?
I think it's improved everything. I think the impact that I've made some mistakes, man. I know how to study now. I know that, man, I've been through so many tests. I've been through so many field problems. I've been through so many different things. I have that experience. I've been around the block. I've been kicked in the nuts. I don't know how many times, and from making mistakes. I know I don't like the pain of getting kicked in the nuts. So I'm
not going to do
that.
It hurts,
buddy. Oh, so I'm not going to do that shit no more. And going into this goddamn boot camp, it's not hard just to do the basics. And with it, within life, it's not hard to do the basics. You already know how to breathe. You know you need food. Well, there's two things scratched off your list. Let's work on the rest. And I don't know. It's
older. Do you think your age is going to hold you back from getting a job? Or do you think it's you?
I think it might be a combination of both. I think it's my mental capacity, or not my mental capacity. It's my mental, I don't know what I'm trying to look at here. It's my own vision of being old, of being older, and me holding myself back because of that. I don't think it's my age that people are going to look at on a resume and be like, oh, this dude's 47 years old. We can't hire him. You know, it's like, well, what I look at is the ROI. If you're going to hire a 20-year-old or a 27-year-old that hasn't been kicked in the nuts 100,000 times, and then, or you're going to hire the 47-year-old that knows he's got to go into work and he's got to do this and that and the other and has a willingness to do it. 27-year-old, I'm sorry, anybody out there is 27 years old, you don't know where the fuck you're going.
I'm not sorry.
You don't
know
what you want to be. But I'll tell you what, buddy, I have the drive, I have the hunger, and I have a willingness to learn. I'm still capable of learning. I taught myself 2 years ago how to program a CNC machine with zero help. And I was running bulletproof programs 24 hours a day. I set that stuff up on Night Run, and eventually it was just like, well, it's ready to go. I'm going to put it for this many numbers, and I'm going to go home and let it run with nobody watching it. Normal freaking businesses don't do that for 6 months, at least 6 months after they put a new process in. I was doing it within two.
So if you're
going to tell me a 47-year-old doesn't have, if you're going to tell me a 47-year-old doesn't have the capacity to learn and the capacity to do that, I'll tell you what, I got a $35,000 contract that I fulfilled that says I can.
And I love the fact that you said that, because here was an argument I had with the Department of Energy and with the boss that was hiring full-time employees versus contract. So me, I had been in the field of IT and networking and things like that for quite a few years. Had the experience. I knew what I was doing. I could fix any computer. I was in the military. I had all this. He came at me and he said, oh, you need a 3.67 GPA. I said, all right, bet. I said, so you're going to pull some jackass out of college that doesn't know your systems, doesn't know your operating systems, doesn't know what you're doing here internally, and hire him versus someone like, I don't know, myself, that has a degree, and I don't care what the GPA is. I've been working here for over a year, and I know more about your systems and how to fix your computers than anybody else.
Absolutely right.
And his response to me was, get a CCIE, and I'll hire you for six figures a year. Homie, I don't need to get a CCIE. I have less than that now, and I make more than that now. So let's really figure out what the problem is. And the problem is certain regulations within the government and Department of Energy and all these other places that are like, oh, you need this to get hired. No, bitch, no, I don't. Yeah. I'd rather hire someone without a degree and with the hunger to learn and the ability to learn. And now I'm in a position to do so. Now I'm finally absolutely in a position, sir, as I have the ability, once we get slots open and we got the clients coming in, I got the ability to hire now. So yeah, guess what? You better believe. You show me you're hungry. You show me that you're willing to do the work. You're willing to put in the effort. I will hire anybody willing to do that over some college kid out of that just graduated.
Oh, yeah.
Because that college kid, if he didn't put in the effort to do a YouTube channel or a blog post or make his name known on LinkedIn, I don't care about you. I really don't give a damn. If I don't know you, I don't care. I care about the people that I see every single day that are making that effort to let me know who they are. And yeah, everybody
absolutely
in my community is the same way. And I have pushed. You look at anybody in my YouTube chat right now, and I got Angie on Twitch also. I got everybody else that is sitting there, and they're here. They're showing up. And I see them every day on LinkedIn. I see you, Cody. I see Andrea. I see Space Tacos, and I know who that really is. Avant, I don't know who you are, but fuck it. Let's run with it. I probably do. I got
Space
Amanda.
Tacos, you
got
to DM me, man. We got to connect.
I got people here that are putting in the effort, that are putting in the work. The Land Shark, I'm just seeing you, homie. Don't go there with me. Homie, you're already making good money in two, so fuck you. Patrick. All right.
So
like, I see these people. I know these people. So when I go to hire someone, when I'm going to look for a job, I'm going to look for the people that have interacted. I'm going to look for the people that have been making a name. I'm going to look for the people that have been putting in the effort to say, I fucking belong here. I belong. I've earned it. Not the people that are like, I graduated college. Please hire me. Right? I don't care about you.
Yeah.
College didn't teach you shit because the work industry and the work field and cybersecurity is fucking hard.
What college gave you was baseline zero. That is exactly what college gave you. You paid to get to baseline zero to get a degree in something. And high school is baseline 0.75.
Yeah.
So nowadays, everybody's asking for a freaking college degree. Does that college degree actually make you more hireable? No, that was an underwater basket weaving in a blind man. Well, shit, you got a degree, so let's hire. No, but man, I will hire the high school graduate in a heartbeat if he shows the heart, has the attitude, and wants to learn 800 times more than I will hire that freaking high school or that college graduate that has a degree and is entitled.
I used to drive Uber, right? And I had college students all the time ask me, so if I wanted to get into cybersecurity, what would it take? Do you have a blog? Do you have a YouTube channel? Are you available on LinkedIn? Do I know what you're posting? Are you commenting? Are you being like Andrea, who shares every job offer out there? Like, look, homies, go choose this. Go apply. Go find it. Are you doing these things? No? Then I don't know who you are, so why would I hire you? I had someone call me a gatekeeper because I told them if I don't know you, if I can't Google your name or Google a handle or something like that and figure out who the hell you are, then why would I hire you? Yeah. You're not proving anything to me. We are in an age where anonymity needs to go out the damn window because the government knows who the hell you are already. So you might as well just put yourself out there.
Absolutely. So, and then putting in the extra work.
Do it.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm 47. If I need to put in extra work, son of a bitch, I'm 47. I sleep very little. I need sleep. I'm old and I pee a lot at night. That's just how it works. But I'm going to bed at midnight and I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning so I can go back to work the next day, sit through 4 hours of class and do 8 hours at work after class and then go back and study for another 4 hours. Or if not,
cut that back to two.
Yeah, if it's not direct book studying, I got a Wi-Fi pineapple. I'm trying to figure this shit out so I can be more marketable. So I can put in that extra work and figure out how to do a better job before I get into where I'm going.
And that's the thing, right? It's all about the effort you put in. It's about what you're willing to work for. So for those that don't know, when I first got out of the Army, I didn't have a job. 2017, I went 6 months without work. Live with my mother-in-law. With my wife and 5 kids. So for all those that are just getting in thinking, oh, it's going to be easy. Homie, I had more letters after my name than the damn alphabet. Don't think it's going to be easy. Buddy. I don't care who you are. I spent 6 to 8 months out of work. I finally got a job paying $60-some thousand a year. The reason I got a raise and the reason I got a new job was because I was willing to put in the effort and show that I am able and willing to learn. Not because I knew the software that I was going to be working on. I was a SIM engineer, was my second job. I was an engineer. But I showed the ability and willingness to learn. So regardless of your age, I don't care what it is, you can go up to any good hiring manager right now that is looking for people and saying, I'm in a boot camp or I'm doing this or I'm doing that or I'm putting all this out there, and they will hire you.
Well,
age,
we hope
doesn't
so.
Matter.
No, I don't believe it does either. And people that look at age as a holdback are fucking themselves. They, man, look at the experience that comes with it. How much stuff have you been through as opposed to a 23-year-old just out of college? You know, how many lessons have you learned that 23-year-old has not? And so
I learned not to shut down an MSSP SIM and reboot it without notifying people.
Well, it's a technique. It's a technique used by some, not by others.
I've done that. So for all those that think you can't make mistakes, I kid you not, working for an MSSP, I shut down our multi-tenant sim and rebooted it. And that shit takes like a half hour to 45 minutes to reboot and come back up. So, yeah, that shit has happened. We all make mistakes. But, again, it comes down to the willingness to learn, the tribal knowledge, the ability to build upon it. Cody, you're right in there in the thick of it, man. You're going through this. You're showing your ability and your willingness to learn, and that is what is vital.
Absolutely. I mean, so everybody's going to have all the attaboys. You can have all the attaboys in the world. There's that one off fuck that everybody's going to remember. And it's your willingness to grow past that and to pick yourself up and show them, yep, I fucked up, but guess what happened? I learned.
Yep.
What occurred? Learning occurred. That's what happened. If you can learn from your mistakes and show your advancement from that, you're going to freaking rock and roll, buddy.
That is the biggest thing, right? When you look at us as humanity, can you learn from your mistakes or are you going to let them haunt you?
Yeah.
I learn. I preach every day, every video, everything I do is all about learning. It's all about growing. Whether in this industry or outside of it, it does not matter. Everything that happens is a learning experience. I learn from my kids. I learn from you. I learn from Andrea. I learn from Wanawa. I learn from Space Tacos.
You got her name right.
I try. I learn from Avant. I learn from everybody. Because, look, I've been in this industry 15 plus years, going on 20 years. Yeah. It does not matter how old you are, how young you are, or what you're doing. You can learn from everybody. Those with age have wisdom and experience from other industries, other jobs, other capabilities that they bring to the table. If you cannot learn, if you show me that you're not willing to learn, I got no time for you.
Absolutely. Caveat off of that. Oh my god! Did I just say caveat? The piggyback. I'm going back in.
Stop! You're getting younger now. You're getting younger. Let's go with it, homie.
If I say behoof, just shit, there it is.
No. Anyway. If you say cap or no cap, then I'm gonna have to cut you off. Don't ever say that. That'll cut you off. I will kill you from the stream.
No, the caps are in the truck on the freaking dashboard. That's where they are. That's where they sit until I get in and have to protect my fucking eyes. No, man, but so to come off of that is willingness to learn, willingness to freaking advance yourself. But here's something that a lot of people right now I'm finding don't have is the ability to have goddamn fun.
Yes.
If you cannot sit there and have fun in the workplace, and I don't care who you are. If you're going to get offended, you know something? Switch a channel. Find something else. Don't submit me to fucking HR. I don't give a shit. Or submit me to HR. I don't care. It's who I am. I'm going to have fun. And I'm going to try to make jokes. I'm going to try to turn this learning opportunity. I try every day in class. I'm trying to cut up and I'm trying to freaking make stuff funny. Because when you're laughing, you're enjoying it. If you're just sitting there watching a fucking lecture with some dude with his arms over the podium, chapter 7-1, say
Amanda knows all about that right now.
Fuck that. Have fun with it, man. If you're having fun, you're learning. If you're having fun, you're more engaged, and you're going to freaking do better than if you're just fucking sitting there listening like a stump on a log.
And that's the thing. Is if you know how to enjoy yourself, if you know how to make jokes, and we do this at work. Thankfully that was empty.
Yeah.
We joke all the time. I literally get on my boss's case all the time.
Bosses?
My bosses.
Bosses. Okay. Sorry.
But I do. I get on his case all the time. A, because it's fun. And B, because it makes work enjoyable. When you and your boss can, you know, joke with each other and cut up. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, I got a senior engineer. He's not mine. He belongs to my counterpart. He is my counterpart's employee. But he'll show up on video with a sleeveless shirt on. And I'm like, man, now you got to make me look bad. I got to go find a shirt that I could actually wear. Like, no, yeah, so like, these things is just all about having fun. It's all about enjoying your job and who you work with. And if absolutely. You cannot do that, if you cannot make jokes, if you cannot just have fun, then you're going to hate your life. And I can't live like that. I never could. And so I love everything about where I work. I love everything about who I work with because we can do that.
There's a time and place for everything.
There really is. You don't get on a client call in a sleeveless shirt. You don't that shit.
Well, you can. Like, it's just not approved. It's not right.
True. I mean, I'll get on wearing this. Don't get it twisted. I will promote the shit out of myself. I don't
care. And mine just shipped yesterday. I ordered I thought it was going to be here.
So, all right. For those that don't know, I have a dropship company. I go through Printful. All my merchandise goes through there. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer. So if you want it, you got to order it about a week in advance if you're going to be on the show. Just saying. Sometimes more. It really depends. But otherwise, look, it is one of those things. Like, you just got to have fun with your career. If you're not having fun, you're going to be miserable. And this goes into the mental health aspect of everything I talk about is if you hate your job, man or woman, it doesn't matter. You're going to take that shit home with you, which means now either you're going to be alone and miserable, or you're going to be married and make your spouse miserable and your kids miserable and everybody else miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's going to be miserable around you.
Don't take that shit home, man.
It is one of those things where you have to enjoy what you do and who you work with. I have made it a mission to always enjoy who I work with. The job, it is what it is. And look, if you're looking for sleeveless, I go shirtless on TikTok almost every day. Just saying.
Whoa.
God.
Have a little decency, sir.
No, I don't have none. It doesn't exist. I enjoy the dad bod and the beer belly. And it's a keg. A keg is stronger than a six-pack. I stand by that.
Absolutely. That's why it's called a keg throw in the Scottish Highlander games and not a six-pack throw.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I stand by this, but you got to enjoy where you work. You got to enjoy everything about it. And so regardless of your age, regardless of how you got there, enjoy it. Love it. Live it up.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Cody, I got a question for you.
Okay.
We are at, we got 15 minutes. I thought we were at
the end. Yeah, we do.
We're not. So we got time, homie. We're going to run this on.
We got as long as you want. This is your show, remember?
This is true. So if you were looking at it from a perspective of age, and I'm going to bring you up solo. I'm going to let you take over the show for a little bit.
Holy shit.
Do you think your age has or will have any effect on your schooling or career prospects?
Schooling prospects, absolutely not. Schools don't give a shit how old you are. All they want is money, right? So they don't care. They're going to take your money regardless. It's what you do in that school that makes you. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about how much money you got. You can be fucking a billionaire and have all the money in the world and do shit at the course. The school's still going to fucking take you. You can have no money and be working 17 jobs, the school's still going to take you. Employment, I think age does play a role in the employment industry. Just because people, for one, I don't know. I'm not a health insurance person, but maybe your HR, health insurance risk assessment dude, is like, that son of a bitch is 900 years old and needs to take a break. I don't know if he considered a computer not get electrocuted. The other side is, I mean, seriously, but they are going to look at your age. I really believe that they're going to look at your age. And they're going to make judgments about you. I've had judgments made about me about my age. I didn't get the job welding fabricating because of my age. In fact, I was passed up numerous times because of my age and my experience level. But I'll tell you what, I had the passion, and I would freaking roll around in the dirt better than anybody, and my welds were better than half of the employees in the goddamn business. So get out there and do what you're passionate about, regardless of what it is and how old you are.
I love that. I absolutely love that, because here's the thing, and here's where I think ageism started coming into play. So I will hire anybody. If you're just breaking in, junior, mid-tier, senior, I don't care about your age. If you're breaking in, you want to make money, you want to also do something you love, right? If I see the ability to learn, if I see you're a senior, been in the field 30 years, I don't care how old you are, you're going to be here. You're going to make a difference. But with that, and with what is going on, I think this is where ageism really took effect and really made a name for itself, is the blue-collar industry. Because as you get older and your body breaks down, you can no longer...
Was that a beer delivery?
Was that what?
A beer delivery. Did you just get
delivered? No, beer? It was a play cake from my kid. I got a beer down below me. I got a whole fridge. I got a whole fridge below me. I don't have to get a beer delivery down here.
All right.
But I do. I think blue collar is where ageism comes into play more often than cybersecurity and IT. Because I think in blue collar, they look at the body and look at the breakdown of the human body. And versus
in a way, yeah.
And IT and cybersecurity, you don't have to worry about that as much. Now you got to worry about medical appointments. Don't get it twisted. At 36 years old, I have appointments with my psychologist and my doctors and everything else on a regular basis, being from the military. My body is broken, so yes, I deal with that. But I don't think it comes into play as much because you're sitting in a chair.
You're right.
Your appointment may be a half hour to an hour, whatever, but you're sitting there. You're not going to get spent as long as mentally you're able to do the job. Now, dude, as you get older, if things like dementia or something like that set in, different story.
Absolutely.
But as far as the ability to do the job, if you're continuously learning, if you're getting certifications, if you're furthering your education, if you're sitting here and putting up articles like, yo, I just read this and this is the hot shit, y'all need to look at this. I'm looking at you and I'm going, homie, you please teach me. Please, I'm 30-some years old. Motherfucker, teach me. Let me know what I need to do.
Like, absolutely.
That's how I look at it. And there's a lot more people coming out with that mindset of age doesn't matter. But I see it more in IT and cyber versus other industries.
And you're right. The fucking welding and fabrication, man, it will take it out of you. But you also have to realize, I think it's in both industries, that you have the old timers that are holding on to the secrets.
Yes.
And they will not give them up because they're afraid you're going to take their job.
That's the problem I see we having.
Yeah.
I agree. I see that even in this industry with directors and VPs and C-level execs. People are so afraid you're going to take their position and their money and what they're going for. They won't train you. They won't teach you. They won't do this, that, and the third. But here's my caveat to that. And I'm going to give you a good one. This is why your network is so important. Because when you network, when you actually, and people hate to do it, but if you make friends with your boss and their boss, then when they move on or they move up, guess what they're doing? They're bringing you up with them. They're not afraid to give you that knowledge. They're not afraid to help you along because they're looking to move up. So if they're going to move up, they're going to take the next person in line that's like, yo, I know this person. They're good people. They can do their job. They can do their shit. Yeah. They're coming up with me. And so they're going to bring them up with them.
Now, on that end, you got to get those companies. So I challenge right now, I challenge everybody that's listening and anybody at this point, go on to fucking Indeed, go on to these job search boards, find me an entry-level job that requires less than a freaking bachelor's degree and 3 years of experience.
Good luck.
Because I swear to God, everything I'm looking at has minimum fucking requirements, a bachelor's degree, and a minimum 3 years of experience of dealing with penetration testing, dealing with IT help desk, 3 years of experience in whatever field you're going into, plus probably other, you know, four other certifications.
So
I'm like, dude, certifications are fucking expensive. If I wasn't in this course, so I get four tokens for fucking certifications. One of them I have to take is Security Plus. Okay. That's just something I have to take in order for the course. Doesn't matter if I pass or fail. Okay. If I fail it, I can take whatever course. They still have three certificates. But they will pay for three different tests in Divergence in this course for you to get certified for certification tests. I already knocked out Sec Plus. I'm taking fucking pen tests in less than a month, a couple weeks. And what happens? If I fail it, I still got two left. I can retake it. I can go back to fucking cloud. I can go to networking. I can go to Linux. I can go wherever I want within 6 months of graduating. But still, and dude.
And that's huge. And I'm going to get into Jack's comment, our question here in a second.
Where's Jack?
Which, FYI, as you would love to donate to the cause, please, there are super chats that are available. Also, on all my videos, you can tip and you can do a lot of fun shit. And
go buy a shirt
now, which I don't have anything other than thank you. And I will announce the fact that you're a subscriber in every episode. But other than that, look, when you're looking at tests and testing, here's the biggest thing. People let failure bother them. As someone who has been in the field for 15 plus, going on 20 plus years, I have failed my CCNA three times. I just recently failed Attainium certification. I have failed Microsoft certifications. Failure is not the end. I am now a practice manager. I now have management, and I am now having people under me, and I have failed certifications. I have failed in my career field. I have failed in a lot of things. Just because you failed something, take off that ED. Fail means first attempt in learning. You were able to accomplish it. You were able to do it. It just takes a little bit more effort. Like I said, CCNA took me four tries. Tanium, I'll study it some more and get it on my second try when I decide to reschedule it.
And this is where the ageism comes into play. You have it with age comes failure. How many things have you failed in as a 23-year-old where you're able to kick your fucking heels in and keep going? No, man. When I was 23 and I failed at something, it hit me hard. I'm 47. I failed at something. I'm like, well, going to work tomorrow. I'm going to do it again.
I failed at winning the lottery.
Yeah, fuck off. I'm fucking doing it. Yeah. Go fucking get it. Who gives a shit? And, you know, it's the dude in the freaking in the locker room when you get down to the gym and he's fucking sitting there naked doing the Captain Morgan stance, wiping his junk and talking to you. You're like, well, I failed at fucking locker room etiquette. Gotta go. And you just fucking get dressed and move out. Change the fucking channel. Who gives a shit what just happened? Move on and fucking go on with your life and improve yourself. And now you don't take as long in the fucking shower.
So, all right, I got two questions here, and I'm going to touch on Andrea's here in a second, but the first one comes from Jack because it came from a lot earlier. Do you feel that the boot camp you're taking now is preparing you well for a pen testing job? Because, as we all know, pen testing is very heavy in report writing.
You're
is
correct.
It actually helping you with that?
I can't say yes or no at this point. I'm in the fucking first week. We have just finished the first week, and this first week of pen testing course has been a short week because of the fucking holiday. We honestly didn't get started until Wednesday. So I can't say that this pen test boot camp has improved me at all. I know how to log into GNS3. I got a VPN set up, and I know what I got some machines I can hack this weekend. The course provides you a weekend, 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can log into this freaking VPN and go attack machines. Or you can just do it during the week while you're at school. So it's that extra time. If the course provides you with that, awesome. Because I'm not sleeping tonight. I'm telling you what, I'm going to get about 37 fucking 5-hour energies. And I don't know, another 7 or 8 pack of beer. And I'm going to go hack some shit and learn how to do it. I haven't busted into my first machine yet, but I'll be goddamned if I don't fucking want to.
I will say this. When you do it, let me know. Because I'm gonna wake you up. I love seeing people's successes. So yeah. I want to see on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on something, whatever you were on, I want to know when it happens because I am A, going to promote the shit out of it, and B, I want to congratulate you because that is something that when you pwn your first box, it stills your beating heart. You're just looking at it going, oh, yes.
I've tried so many things just in this friggin' afternoon. Once we got access to it, I was like, okay, do this, fail. God damn it. Do this, fail. Fuck. Do this, son of a bitch. Ah, I got to go back to work. And so you go back to fucking work and go do
work
some shit.
Work is calling, damn it.
Yeah. You got customers beat on your door. You're like, God damn it. Yeah, man. This fucking course that I'm in right now, Jack, this course that I am right now, report writing is huge. So we have some PSLs and basically security labs, penetration security labs. We go hack boxes. I mean, virtual network on GNS3, and we go hack these things, and there has to I haven't counted them, honestly, but there is fucking about a dozen of them, different fucking boxes to go hack and to go in and get your stuff, you know, and try to find these flags and try to find these vulnerabilities and try to find all these things. And you write a report on each one that you do. And this is part of the course content. It's not just a do you wanna. No, it's a part of the course content. What did you find in this network? What did you find per machine? And you write, it could be a 15-page report. And we just got this discussion. We got all the templates today. They downloaded them. And we got examples of what stuff should look like, what really good ones are, and what marginal ones are. You know, what to include, what not to include. And, again, it's the course content. I can't tell you, man, if you go into XYZ fucking pen test course, you're going to get this. I can't say that you're going to go into anything and get this. You're not going to know until you get into it. And you've already paid the money, unfortunately. What I am going to say is do your research. And if you need help with reports, the more I go into it, dude, hit me up on LinkedIn, man. I'll give you what I know. I will help anybody in this chat or anybody after that reads this shit. I'll give them anything I got that I've learned and my lessons learned. I'll give it to you. Okay? I don't give a shit. CompTIA can fucking flag me. Fuck you guys. I don't care.
And that's the biggest thing. And this is one of the reasons I wanted you on here, Cody, is because I know you're willing to share your information. I know you're willing to go to work for people. And one of the biggest things to me is, you know, you are willing to put that information out there. Pen testing, as everybody knows or should know. Look, everybody looks at pen testing and hacking as, oh, it's hot and sexy and everybody should do it. No. The majority of your job is report writing and going on hack the box.
It's like a fucking police officer. Cops spend majority of their time fucking writing reports. Everybody's like, oh, they're always out writing tickets. Oh, they're pulling me over. No, motherfucker. 80% of that time is writing reports.
That's a lot of your jobs that seem sexy are report writing. They don't see the back end. And so that is a huge problem is everybody's like, oh, I want to get into this. Then they get into it and they're like, I'm bored. oh, I need to go work somewhere else. I need to go do something like this. And so it is it's a very important topic to talk about because of that fact of report writing and soft skills and things like that are so important. Because and here's the other part to pen testing that people don't understand. If you cannot explain to a client how to secure their systems from the shit you did, you are worthless.
And it's not only
worthless.
And it's not just explaining to them, it's explaining to them in their language.
Yes.
You have to translate that. And sometimes it's downgrading your language.
It's marine. And what do we call it? Level writing you need to do. Write it down to a crayon eater.
Yeah. But buddy, I'll tell you what, if you don't like report writing, if you're in a pen test role, I've never been in one, but I believe there's a team. It's called a red team, which means there's more than one. Anyway, there might be a dude that's really good at fucking report writing, and maybe that's all he does. So don't get on that cat for just fucking sitting back and watching you guys do the work and him write the report. This is like the Breakfast Club. The dude wrote the report for the Breakfast Club and didn't do much. He was a geek, but fuck, man, that last report was really good. And Molly Ringwald and the freaking stoner dude freaking walked off sweet as hell.
And Amanda says it here. See, I'll do the thing, talk to the client, if someone else writes the report.
Exactly.
Report writing. This is why I got into management. Too many people were asking me to write reports and emails and everything else. Screw that. I'm just going to go motivate people. I'm out.
Yeah. Nobody likes report writing, buddy. Nobody likes that shit.
You can't say nobody. There are people out there that love it. They absolutely love it. It isn't me, but there are people. We are at the top of the hour. I do have to get Andrea's question up here.
Come on, Andrea. What you got?
So what is your take on reverse ageism? And I think what she means is they want people that are older with experience versus those younger coming out of college. So in today's workforce, what's your view on this?
All right. So coming in too young, I'm 23 and I got all the heat. What you need to provide to your, employer or the guy you want to freaking work with, I say guy, the company you want to work with, express that learning initiative. And I'm not just talking about, I want to learn. I am good at learning. Bop, bop, beep, boop, boop. Who gives a fuck? You're a fucking robot. No, show me something. If you're 20 fucking years old and this, and you want to prove to the employer that you're willing to learn, show that son of a bitch what you have done. Show him that you've made a rubber ducky that every time you click the right mouse button, it plays fucking the Dukes of Hazzard theme.
That would be great.
You know something?
I got a rubber ducky. Yeah, I need to do that.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Show them that you made a phishing email that every time somebody clicks on the unsubscribe button, that takes you to the link that collects all your fucking data.
It takes you to a porn site. Don't lie. Yeah, that's what it's taking you to. It's taking you to a porn site and probably the porn you never want to see.
GrandmasLoveButt.com. But no, seriously, buddy. Andrea, it's fucking show them what you can do. Because I tell you what, if I saw a 20-year-old coming into my shop, I own a fucking welding fabrication shop with a CNC machine shop attached to it. I hire fucking these people. Well, I don't hire them because right now we're not looking to hire. Anyway, I've seen these people come through. But show me what you've done. If you're a button pusher, I can get a fucking trained monkey to fucking do that. And you're asking for fucking $30 an hour, I can get a trained monkey to do it for less. Because it don't take much of a button push. But if you could show me that you've learned G&M code to fucking start programming your own shit, If you can show me the graphics, if you can show me your freaking 3D CAD CAM online, and do it, because that's going to make you stand out. That's going to make you head and shoulders, even above the 35-year-old, 40-year-old that's been doing it for 40 years, you know, over time. But it's going to fucking take so much more to fucking – the employer is going to look at that way more than you just coming in saying, I went through a course in college. Don't get
that's
it,
a huge thing, right? So when I look at reverse ageism and when I think about it, I look at this and a multitude.
Logan, I'm trying to fucking preach, buddy.
Sorry,
comments.
And I think about it in such a way that if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to put in the effort, now let me explain.
Yeah, hit it.
At 14 years old, I was getting hit by punters on AOL.
What the fuck?
I didn't understand what that was.
Okay, I don't understand what that is now.
It was a denial of service that kicked you off your dial-up internet.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. That's what it was. Those that understood the wee-oh,
that's you just used a cap on me.
Yeah. So I got hit with a punter. That's what it was called at the time on America Online. My buddy used to do it to me all the time. I wanted to drop kick him. But it was a denial of service. Kicked you off the internet. I should have done more research then. I did not. I knew IT, right? I fixed my first computer at 7, 8 years old. Maybe 9. I don't remember the year. So I did all this. And then I got into IT. I fixed computers. I knew operating systems. I knew networking. I knew all this other stuff. I didn't know cybersecurity. I didn't break into my, I didn't do anything in terms of cybersecurity until I broke into my first wireless network back in 2005, maybe.
Sucker, but I couldn't even stop cybersecurity until 2022. So yeah, keep going.
For me, it was, what was it? I can't think of it now. It was B, G, and N, I think we're out, or B, G, and A for wireless networks. W, E, P was still the primary security mechanism. I broke into that, and then I broke into a hospital's. I didn't do nothing. I literally just pulled down their code and was like, oh, shit, I can get their network.
Fuck. What'd I just do?
Right? Like, what do I do with this now? I can break in.
The first time I fired up that Wi-Fi pineapple, I freaking pulled in fucking networks. I was not expecting. I'm like, oh, Ziply. Oh, here's all these fucking internet providers. Oh, here's all these people, like, with networks around me. I'm like, son of a bitch. I got to find the right IP. And I was trying to break into a box that I did on Volhub to try to freaking crack into. And I'm like, shit, which IP address am I supposed to break into? I need to stop until I find out what I'm doing.
And that was the thing. I then didn't know exactly what I was doing. I knew, but I didn't know. I didn't look up the laws. I didn't understand what was exactly going on. I just knew if I connected to it after the fact, I was probably getting in trouble. So I didn't want to do that. I was kind of right? I cracked it. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I did my research. I understood. I began to understand more about the situation and about cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is so vast a field that I didn't get into the blue team side until I went into the Army. Until they said, hey, we're going to teach you all this offensive shit, but it's so you can understand the logs and the things that you're looking at and the things that you should be investigating and all this other stuff. Without that, I would have never understood how to not get caught.
Oh, absolutely. I think that is an important aspect of your baseline. You don't, if you want to go into red team and you want to start penetration testing, and I think if you want to fucking start going in and cracking people, you have to understand the defenses, but you also have to understand okay, I'm going to bring out the term GRC. And the GRC thing has all of a sudden popped up in my life. I was a fucking supply guy, man. I did fucking regulations. I did hazmat. I did physical security. I did fucking risk assessments. In Afghanistan, I had 3,000 soldiers underneath me in 17 different units that I had to go out with a fucking clipboard for each unit and assess their risk assessment as a fucking E6. Okay? And fucking GRC, what do you got? Come on, buddy. What you got? I had fucking 3,000 soldiers with 17 units, the physical security, driver security, all the fucking things. What could GRC throw at me? Bring it. I got it. And this is another thing with ageism, is a resume won't show that experience unless you specifically put it in there.
And that's the big thing. So here's the thing, Cody. And once again, I'm going to send you solo because I want you to explain to everybody. I want you to give your words of wisdom. I want you to give your advice to all those breaking in, trying to break in, or even veterans who think they know their shit but really don't know their shit. I want you to break down as much as possible your words of advice for everybody in or trying to get in to cybersecurity.
Absolutely. All right, guys. You don't know shit. You never will. You will all, if you think you know it, you don't. Fucking, there's always room to improve. There's always room to fucking learn. Get in there. Learn it. Adapt. Learn it again. Think before you speak. Go back and learn it again. And fucking continue on, man. If you're a military veteran, you think you've been there and done that shit, man, there's always somebody that's bigger, better, faster, stronger than you. There's always someone out there that is that $6 million man. Fuck that guy. You're never going to beat him. But you know what you can do? You can work towards it. You can get towards that, and you can work towards beating him. And even though you're never going to beat him, you can work towards it. And the fucking more that you work towards bettering yourself through education and continuous fucking learning, then you're only doing credit to yourself, man. If you sit there and think that you've got everything, you're laying on a fucking barca lounger with a blanket over your legs, and you're just fucking riding it, you're hurting yourself. Somebody's going to take your fucking job, and all of a sudden, you're going to be in the unemployment line begging for Biden to fucking forgive your fucking student loans. It's what it is.
Hey, I want my student loans forgiven because I'm too lazy to pay it back. To be honest, you got 50-some thousand.
Thank you, Jesus. Fucking don't eat the meatballs and forgive your student loans. That's what it is, buddy.
I wish it worked that way. I really do. Yeah. But it don't. And to be real, and to be honest, look, I agree with everything you said. You have a chance to either earn it and work for it and be worth something, or to be lazy, sit back, and blame everybody.
Absolutely.
And at this point, those are your options. You can either go out there, earn everything you get, and deserve it, or you can sit back and wait for a handout. Me personally, and I know for a fact, all of my warriors, they're not looking for a handout. They're earning it. They're putting in the work to educate themselves. They're putting in the work to get on LinkedIn. They're putting in the work to do everything.
Go get it, man.
Why I have my community. Because
nobody can do it but you.
Effort. And it is correct. Only you can make the decisions of how your life is going to go. Nobody else. No one can dictate what you're going to do in life but you. You're either going to work for it and earn it, or guess what? No one is going to hire you. No one is going to actually look at you and be like, oh, yeah, they're worth something. They deserve it.
Go through your first interview and be asked how to fucking negotiate a network. When you get punched in the snot locker, you're going to fucking change your attitude and try to fucking actually learn what you're doing.
I have gotten turned down from so many jobs because I didn't know what I was doing. When I was getting out of the military, I applied to Cisco Talos. They brought me in. Talos, one of the most respected organizations in the United States, maybe in the world, said, hey, do this. No. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Bet. You're not hotter. I don't disagree. You're right. I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be working there. I didn't know what I was doing at the time.
No, fuck this you. You should be working there. Ago. No, you should be working there. And the thing that they didn't fucking see is the fucking training that they could have provided you. If they would have provided you with fucking training and to mold you into the position that they wanted you to be in, they would have ROI'd faster off of your skill set if they had trained you.
It was than
if they had
retrained
another person.
It was a senior position. I couldn't bat against it.
Doesn't matter.
For me, it did. For me, I understood. I understand where you're coming from. I understand your point of view. But for me, at a senior position, a senior role of someone that needs to hit the ground running, I could not do that at that time. So for me, I understood mentally of like, you're right. The questions they asked, the shit they felt, they dealt with on a daily basis, I could not hit the ground running for them. I could not do what they required. So I respected that. And this is the thing, is you have to respect what the company is doing and what they're trying to do and where they're going from it. If you are going to apply for a position and they say, we want a junior, or we want a mid-tier, and you go in there and say, hey, I've done all this. I have this experience. And I'm talking labs. I'm talking personal experience, not enterprise experience.
Yeah.
Personal experience. This is what I've done. I am going to look at it, and I'm going to bring you in. Now, if you tell me, oh, I went through it and I got a degree and a certification. Okay, so what have you done since? Not shit. Okay, then why the fuck do I care? Why do I care? Because guess what? I've got those certifications. I know what they teach and I know what they bring to the table. I've got a degree in computer information systems. I know networking. What can you tell me that's going to prove you have the ability to keep learning and growing and understanding? I don't give a damn. I care what you've done to prove yourself. And that's LinkedIn. Yeah. That's Andrea. That's Manawa. That's Griffin InfoTech. That's Logan Hillard. That's everybody that's been in chat with me this evening and us, Cody. That's what matters.
Absolutely.
Why do I hire you?
But okay, so it's not only fucking LinkedIn. Okay. Twitter, fucking GitHub. God damn fucking Instagram. Okay, so my Instagram, I don't post shit about digital fucking security or cybersecurity or any fucking thing. What's Instagram to me? It's me. That's what Instagram is.
I care about who you are.
What LinkedIn is, that's my professional resume.
Yes.
But your professional resume on LinkedIn needs to have that jocularity of you. When a company comes in to fucking hire you, they're not hiring your skill set only. They're hiring you. And if you have a fucking robotic fucking beep, beep, boop, boop, this is all I do all fucking day, this is my life, man, I'll tell you what. If I had somebody that had some dogs or somebody that had cats, or somebody that showed a goddamn boat or skiing or snowboarding, snowshoeing or doing the worst fucking thing I think they could ever do is running? Fuck marathons. Anyway, I just showed them doing that. They're a fucking human being.
They're a goddamn human being. That's the biggest thing is be a human, don't be a robot. You have...
Absolutely.
This is why I do this show. Because here's the thing. You're going to put this out to somebody. You're going to put it on your resume. You're going to put it on your LinkedIn profile. You're going to put it on Twitter. You're going to put it all these other places. You are all human. For anybody who does not see that, for anybody who does not realize that, guess what? They're not worth your time. Me personally, I will hire anybody as soon as I get jobs if they're willing to put themselves out there and be human. Not, oh, I got to be in a suit and tie and be professional and I got to do all these things. No, I don't give a fuck about that. Yeah. I give a fuck and I give a damn about who you are as a human being. What's your family? Do you have dogs? What are your hobbies?
Absolutely.
Outside of cybersecurity? Because guess what? If you want to make it in this industry, if you want to make it in this world, you have to have something about you other than your job.
Absolutely.
If you do not, you are going to get burned out and you're going to be worthless to me.
Yeah. You got to do a walk with me about that shit. Because holy buckets, man. If you don't, if you're just a fucking robot. Okay. So I've been going through fucking Mr. Robot. This is how I spend my fucking personal time before bed. I watch an episode of Mr. Robot and I go, that motherfucker. Dude, okay. So there's some serious twists and turns in that show. You ever watch that? Yeah, you have. But, dude, just having an ability to relax and decompress and have something else to talk about other than the business, you're going to go fucking way farther in my world than you will.
Because you know more about it. Else's. You understand more about humanity. And here's the thing. In cybersecurity, you got to understand how businesses think. Businesses are about money. Businesses are about making business. Business is all about enablement. How yeah. can I, as a cybersecurity professional, secure you and make you money? That's what matters. So, look, I get it. And I love OG Shaba Ronks on Twitch said no job for me. Look, I don't even know who you are, homie. I love you for being here. But at the end of the day, look, get a hobby outside of cybersecurity. Get off the computer, get off of your phone, get off of everything. Get a hobby, get something outside of cybersecurity and IT solely because that will alleviate your mind and allow you to perform better.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't do Hack the Box. I'm not saying you shouldn't do Try Hack Me. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn.
Fuck no. Get out there and do it.
After hours, do it all. But find your time to do something outside of this industry because it opens up your mind to other businesses and the realms of businesses that you will interact with on a daily basis.
So, dude, have you ever tried Bandit?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That thing is fucking frustrating.
Anyways, Cody, I loved having you here. It's been an amazing talk. We are well over top of the hour.
Who gives a shit?
Do me a favor. Take care. Get a hold of me. Everybody here, get a hold of me on LinkedIn. Once again, I do have subscriptions on YouTube now. I also have on TikTok. If you want to support me, in the description is all the way you can support me. You want to follow Cody. All of his information yeah. is in the description of the YouTube video.
Anything anybody wants to ask Cody, fucking ask me. Definitely. Anything anybody wants to ask me, fucking send it. I will send you whatever
full
I have.
Then. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send you whatever I got.
I love you all. Take care. Have a good one. And as always, I'll see you next week on another amazing episode of Security Happy Hour.
Hell yeah, buddy.